church. A beautiful January morning here. And, man, it was like 44 degrees at my house this morning. I thought I saw a little snow. It was cold. Man. And we got a faithful team, guys, here setting up every morning. John, God, you rock, man. Thank you, dude, for continuing this. So can we get a hand up for John real quick? He is out here every morning. He's got flashlights and down jackets just to make it look nice for us, all right? So, hey, I don't know if you guys are looking for ways to connect during this season. I know I am. I know a lot of us are. And there are still opportunities to do that. Men, many of you are already joining us online every Monday night with the Wild Men, 6:30. We'd love to have you tune into that with us, all right? Talk to myself, talk to Pastor Andrew, John, anyone. And women, there's opportunities for you too. Talk to Carol and Janie Sue. From my understanding, they are also doing some online opportunities there, okay? So would love to see you tune into those. There's still opportunities to connect. And am I right? Like, we still need that during this season, if not now more than ever. So, man, and I just want to read. Can we turn down the music just a little bit? I'm jamming. I just want to read. Are you guys reading any books these days? You guys reading anything? I'm reading this right here, Becoming a King. I just finished it. A great book for the men out there. And I just want to read a little paragraph out of this for you guys today. I hope this blesses you this morning. If this is something you're looking for, as the worship team comes up, I just want to read this. He knows your heart. He knows your story. He will lead you deeper into wholeheartedness and full integration of your soul if you will let him. If you are willing to give God your yes, a yes from the deepest places of your being, from your deepest fears, and from your growing courage, he will open the floodgates, and you will, over time, find yourself among the few. Among the few, amen. Can I just get an amen to that, first of all? If you are willing, all right, if you are willing to be among the few. And I think that's a reference to Scripture where they talk about, you know, few choose the narrow path, right? Wide and broad and easy is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow and winding and rocky and difficult is that leads to salvation. Amen. I don't know if you guys have been hiking out in the hills, but how often are you hiking on the airport, right? A well-trodden road like that. But sometimes the best view and the best treasure comes from getting off the beaten path, right? Getting into the narrow, winding, difficult, rocky cliff section, right? Am I right? So I hope you guys find that today, the narrow path, that ancient path that leads to God and his beauty for you. Amen. All right, let's worship.
Amen. Thanks, Reed. And again, those words are available on those QR codes on the table there. If you're watching online, you can go to our website and get the lyrics on a link there. Let's turn our hearts and our attention to him this morning. Let's praise him in this place. Now that death has died, all of creation cries, holy, holy is our God Almighty. No sting of death I fear, not with his presence here. Hallelujah, he's alive. Now that death has died, all of creation cries, holy, holy is our God Almighty. No sting of death I fear, not with his presence here. Creation cries, holy, holy is our God Almighty. No sting of death I fear, not with his presence here. Hallelujah, he's alive. On the cross, he paid a price I could not pay. Death has died, all of creation cries. and I live by your life. Put your hands together. My life. And my life is yours. And your life is mine. And I'm claimed by the cross. And I live by your life. My life. And my life is yours. And your life is mine. And I'm claimed by the cross. And I live by your life. Now that death has died, all of creation cries, holy, holy is our God Almighty. The sting of death I fear, not with his presence here. Hallelujah, he's alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. Tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow tries to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, and I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. I'll sing a little Spanish this morning. La vergüenza no tiene lugar. Y las mentiras no me atraparán. Sin miedo mi pasado dejo atrás. En ti estoy firme, en ti estoy firme. Tu amor vence el temor, en ti somos libre. Tu amor vence el temor, en ti somos libre. Tu amor vence el temor, en ti somos libre. Es tu poder que puede liberar y a los muertos resucitarás. Es tu poder que me puede salvar. A creer en tu nombre, a creer en tu nombre. There is power, for there is power that can break off every chain. Resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I estoy firme en tu gran amor, firme de tu mano voy. Estoy firme en tu gran amor, mi roca eterna, mi roca eterna. I am standing, oh, I am standing on the rock.
shining in your light.
Next song I feel like has particular pertinence right now in light of all the stuff that we've seen happening in Washington and with our nation, division, and so on. So let this just be our prayer together collectively as a church this morning, that the Lord will just flood the earth with his presence, bring heaven down. Break down the walls, push back the dark, light of the world, move in our hearts. There's a stirring in the spirit, heaven, something holy. Push back the dark, light of the world, move in our hearts, heaven, flood the earth. Sing that with me again. Break down the walls, push back the dark, light of the world, move in our hearts.
Your majesty and word, flood the earth. Man, what a pertinent song. Thank you so much. I just came back from San Diego this week to bury a man that I've known since I was 16 years old. I had dated his daughter. We were young kids, you know, and I remembered this man tells me, I want you to bring my daughter home by this time. I said, yes, sir. I brought her home about a couple hours later. This man comes up to me. He was waiting for me at the door, and I walk through that door, and he's yelling at me, and he's pointing his finger. And he normally would wear shoes with heels on them because he was a shorter man. And so he didn't have his shoes on, and so I looked at him and noticed he was even shorter than I thought he was. And so then I thought I'd walk up to him and try to intimidate him and look at him like this. And this little man did not stop. He was pointing up at me and he was telling me off and telling me, you bring back my daughter at the right time. I told you. And this little man, I looked at him and I thought, man, this man has a lot of guts. This is a man that is taking care of his daughter, right? And this man, little did I know later, he had gone to fight for this country. He was in the Korean War. He was born in Mexico, came to the United States at a young age, and enlisted during the Korean War to help defend this country, to help fight for this country. And he passed away about a week and a half ago, and just a good man. And I was at the funeral, the burial site. And at the church, first they had the funeral part, the service, and they talked about his Christianity. And he was very involved with his church, did a lot of things for the community. And at the burial site, there were two sharply dressed military men. And they had the thing where they put the flag, the unfolding of the flag, and folding it and presenting it to his wife. And I was just so moved with this, you know. Because it just reflects a heart of a man willing to give his life for another. And so that was on Wednesday. So I'm driving north to catch the boat. And I'm looking for a radio station. I wanted to hear some songs. And all of a sudden I hear about this riot at the Capitol. I go, what? And so immediately I turned to KNX Radio, for those of you that know about that news station. So I turned on KNX Radio and I was listening for the next hour of what was going on in this country. It was surreal. I was like, I read about this or I see it on video in other countries happening, but this is here. It was surreal. I was like, what is going on? And of course I was praying for this country and asking God, what is going on? And I felt like God was calming my heart down and telling me to focus on him. And then he reminded me of an article that I had read about what was happening in Israel during Jesus' day. A lot of similarities. One day maybe I'll share it with you. It's just incredibly similar to what we're experiencing today. And the change that was to happen in the country there at that time was not going to happen through military might. It was not going to happen through anything but a spiritual renewal. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came and he shared a gospel that freed people from the bondages to sin and the bondages to other things that hold us back from the fullness of who we are as people. And Jesus proclaimed that message. And as you know, they killed him. But he defeated death and he rose 3 days later to prove that he was who he said he was. And it was at that place that he told his disciples, go into the world and proclaim the gospel. Tell them about me. Tell every single person. And it was there that the beginning movement of this thing called Christianity started. And little by little, towns and countries became transformed. Everything changed because a few people had committed their lives to following their commander-in-chief, Jesus, living for the one kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, as we sang just briefly ago, and living for the right reason, still being good citizens on this earth, whatever land they lived in, but continuing to move forward. And so as we wrestle through what's going on in this country, I know Pastor Andrew has a message. I've looked at some of the scriptures that he had to share. Very encouraging, very focused, and very hopeful. And so I want to encourage you to listen carefully to what he says. But even more than that, listen to the heart of the man. As he has sought the face of God to give us a message that comes from his heart to ours. So, Father, I pray your blessings on our worship time that we will continue to have, and that your anointing would be upon Pastor Andrew, Lord God. Lord God, that these words that you've placed in his heart to share, that they would touch our hearts, that they would reveal truth to us in our inward part of our soul, that they would bring comfort, strength, faith, and hope. Lord God, in all things, that you would be glorified. Lord God, that you would work a deep work within our own hearts. Stir us up. Move us forward, Lord God. Help us to make a difference in this little town and ultimately this country and this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire. Standing next to me, there was another in the waters, holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden, where another died for me. There is another in the fire. Debt left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. Set me free. There is a grave that holds nobody. no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone.
Thank God Almighty, I am free at last.
grateful for the freedom that you bring, true freedom, not freedom like, you know, man thinks of maybe, but inner freedom that just cannot be explained with mere words. We just praise your name right now for those of us who have experienced that freedom, Lord. And for those who have not, Lord, I pray that they step into it today. May your words come forth and bless our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. The tone has been set this morning. Thank you. Love is in the park, and the park is packed. Thank you for being here this morning. Look at all the golf carters and golfers and everyone that got up this morning. You're listening online, maybe. Welcome this morning to all of you to our church service out here as we battle the elements today. My heart is heavy, and I know yours is too. And so to sing the song Free at Last, to sing it and to really believe it, it may take some time. And this week, as you've been processing things, and I've been processing things, we've come today. I mean, we've come here today, literally, to say Sunday's on the way, right? I know this has happened, kind of almost like Good Friday. Sunday's on the way. I know that it's coming. Where is the hope? All these folks this week that I've come into contact with, some even long-distance phone calls, even a couple in another country, they tell me they feel demoralized by the decay around us and the events in our nation out of control. Where is the hope? The hope that each of us has is not in who governs us or what laws are passed or what great things we do as a nation or even in solving this pandemic. Our hope is in the power of God working through the hearts of his people. Amen? That's where our hope is in this country, and that's where our hope is in life. I believe that. I saw it again in the face of a young person this week. They were out of class. They should have been in class, but they were down at Wrigley Stage. And I saw them staring out into the harbor. I kept my 6-foot distance, but I had to go up and say hello to them. And there was fear. There was uncertainty. This person was a senior, not quite sure what a actual freshman college year could look like. At this point, even going to college. That same look was echoing across all of our students, young people, our seniors, regardless of age, across the ocean, cries from their heart saying, I need something, and it's missing. And as Enrique shared with us last week, it's the main thing, Jesus, the confidence of his gospel, the main thing that everyone is searching for in the light of God's word. In the light of it, I have seen a growing clarity in the stark emptiness of the world without Christ. It didn't take this week's events to convince me, but as a pastor, I felt an increasing burden to challenge its false and bankrupt values. That's my 2021 stuff, okay? I don't want to look back. I don't want to be halfway. I don't want to be passive in any way. I want to help others from just a futile search of what is consuming so many, this death, this hatred. And I don't mean just death physically, but death to relationships, death to jobs, death to just communication and marriages. And where is the hope that will complete this life for everyone? It is Jesus. To believe that this pandemic will end. And literally, the sun will shine again in our fun, adventurous lifestyles that we have, even living here on this island, to know in your heart that you found something that was missing. There is a hope. There is a peace, and it completes us. His name is Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you that the word, it's already gone out. It's already gone out this morning. I thank you from Reed to the band,
to the things shared by Enrique. It's already gone out. Continue our worship time, Father. Stay here with us. We need your presence now more than ever. And we thank you for the opportunity. Thank you that Sunday is here. But give us today what you want us to have for the rest of this week, even for the rest of this day. What's in store? What are the challenges? You're the missing part. And we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. The New York City Transit Company was missing a bus and a driver some years ago. For over a week, authorities searched for a man but couldn't find him. Finally, 10 days later, after the man had disappeared, he was found, bus included, in Miami, Florida. The driver said, "I'd had it with the cold weather, the passengers, my family. And one day after I got off work, I thought, I wonder what would happen if I just took off driving." So that's what he did. He took off for Florida, where he enjoyed the sun and the surf for over a week, all by himself. And then he went to jail. You ever felt like that, though? Haven't you felt like that? We've all felt like that bus driver at times this week. A few of us helped Nathan to the YWAM base in San Diego, and we literally were praying with him, saying goodbye. And I'm just thinking, just less than a handful of miles, there's the border right there. And after all this stuff in the news this week, I'm like, there it is, right there. We get so frustrated and aggravated about life. We either want to pull our hair out or run away. Maybe your marriage hasn't gone the way you thought it would. It's never like you dreamed it would be. This year in the pandemic, I've felt these same challenges. I've felt these things. It's that way when things are so close in proximity and you really, really, really explore who you've married more than ever before. Or maybe you're empty nesting like me. I don't know. I just know that there are challenges. So you may have thought, I wonder what would happen if I just took off for a few days and nobody knew where I was going. Like that husband who said, some people ask the secret of our long marriage. And the response was, well, we go out to dinner twice a week. Beautiful music, slow walk home, little candlelight dinner. I go on Tuesdays, she goes on Fridays. Maybe it's parenting that have got you down. Maybe it's parenting. Kids do get parents down. Do I hear an amen from our parents out here? Okay, say it softly. Have you ever come frustrated, literally frustrated to church here, exhausted over things that are happening maybe at work? Maybe they're not happening at work. Maybe you have been furloughed or temporarily laid off. But there are some things that you're looking for. And my friends, there is no pain-free job. I know even in the essential services that are working right now almost around the clock, some of you don't leave work at work. It's impossible to do that, and you come home with that stuff burdening you, especially the online stuff. When the Wi-Fi goes out or like the power goes out in the evening, like last night, God was like, it's time to go to bed, Andrew. Okay. My friends, life is full of pain and disappointment. We think things are going to be better. It's going to be that way. And we find out it's not what it expected at all. Bills pile up. Health fails. Marriage crumbles. People hurt you or disappointing. Your zip has been zapped. People criticize you. I've had plenty of that some of this week. Your job turns out to be a bummer and something happens there. This pandemic, do I get the vaccine? Do I not? Now that it's here, new issues come up. All this downtime possibly could be driving you nuts. Maybe you have been furloughed, and you're like, I have no idea what to do with my time. You don't know anybody like that, do you? Who knows? Perhaps there have been times when you have even thought about quitting the Christian life, or not even starting it to begin with. But you might have started out with high hopes of a better life, a happier life, a richer life, and things have changed a little bit. It's not what you expected. You may have thought all your problems are going to go away. Temptations, though, start to grow stronger, and they're more than you expected. They're more than you feel like you can handle. People are not always as helpful or as nice as you thought they would be. You begin to think after a period of time, literally, why come to this park? Why even listen to this sermon online? I'm not getting it. So we just drop out and do what everybody else in the world is doing. A lot of talk right now about football.
Go Bills!
Is it a Bills thing? Is Green Bay the team to talk about this year? 13-3 NFC champions? Is that what we're dealing with? My friend and I won't mention Reed's name, we're discussing the poser this week, or the guy that likes to fake it everywhere he goes. Meetings online, social media, you know, the poser, the fake, okay? When a crummy quarterback becomes a Christian, he's still a crummy quarterback. The greatest weapon in history is the human heart. The basic foundation of the poser is to shield us from embarrassment or exposure. Genesis 3:10 says, Adam answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Our fears and insecurities create opposing in our lives. It causes us to lose heart. You're like, how does this connect with what you were saying before? The poser is not the deepest and truest thing about us. It's not. What is needed is God's love and his affirmation and certainly his validation. Psalms 109, verse 21 and 22 says, But you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. For I'm poor, I'm needy, my heart is wounded within me, and my nation seems out of control, and I don't know what to believe anymore. Yes, I added those last two, but you just fill in the blanks. I need the goodness of your love. I can't fake it. I don't have it all together. This stuff is driving me nuts. It isn't going the way I planned. And I'm needy. And I'm poor. And my heart is wounded within me. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Jesus says, I want to set you free. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to those poor and needy people. He turns around, he says, he sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness the prisoners, even those who are prisoners right now or incarcerated in the media. And what's happening in our capital and what's happening in our own government here in California, he's here to set you free. And there's a disconnect there. Kindness to yourself will heal the inner woundedness. Be kind to your inner self. Kindness, though, will heal, not the opposite. The worst defeat in a college football game, October 7th, 1916, Georgia Tech played Cumberland College of Kentucky and beat them 222-0. Wow. It is on record. It's a fact. It was said that Cumberland never made a first down. The much smaller Cumberland players were mauled. Coming into the half, in one particular play through the first half, one of the Cumberland backs fumbled the ball. And as the ball was rolling towards his teammate, he yelled out, Pick it up! Pick it up! The other player yelled back, You pick it up! You dropped it! Sometimes our situation in life seems hopeless. We've dropped the ball and we don't feel like picking it up again. Forget it. Forget about it. I'm not running with it. We've been knocked down. This junk is hitting me. My family's on me. My spouse doesn't understand me. My job is everything to me. How am I going to pay my rent or my lease is up? What do I do? And I just want to quit the game. Galatians 6:9 says, Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not what? give up. The people who seem to do well in life, though, are not particularly the most flashy or the most talented or the most materially blessed. They're just people that don't give up. They don't quit doing good. They're dependable. They just keep on keeping on. And the Apostle Paul was that kind of person. Twice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, "We do not lose heart." That's what we need, my friends, this morning. We do not lose heart. Somehow, we must not lose heart in life. We need to discover Paul's secret, and he spells this out very beautifully. He says this, the secret for not losing heart, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Remember your responsibility, combat the enemy, and develop a resiliency. Stand up in the midst of this chaos. I serve an amazing God. He is stronger than this. He is bigger than this. We've got this. Remember your responsibility. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1 says, "Since through God's mercy we have this ministry, do not lose heart." We have this ministry, or what he's saying is, we have this responsibility in life. Theo, come on up here if you would. We're not going to give this up. We're not going to surrender this. Since through God's mercy, we have this responsibility in life, we're not going to give up. Several weeks ago, actually over a month ago, our Wild Men, we have a prayer night on Thursday nights. One of our leaders, Theo, our small group leader, came in from our core guy. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Came in to our online program, and he was bawling his eyes out. And we were like, "What is going on?" And the men were right there online, and everybody saw it. Everybody heard about it. And the story began at that point. In fact, the story at that point was just starting. And I want you to hear, and I want you to understand something. God is at work when we have that sense of responsibility and that resiliency. He is at work and can work through that. And you don't have to be a flashy guy, even though you are the face of Coney's, my friend. All you know that you're eating at Coney's these days is nothing else open, right? I think that's it. We love you, and I want you to tell us your story real quick.
Well, nothing goes to waste. That's one thing my mother taught me when I was a kid. She was very religious and Catholic, and nothing goes to waste. She also was a mother of 9 guys or kids, and she had to feed us with one chicken. So. And then I grew up, and I forgot about that. You know, nothing goes to waste. And then God just reveals again, like, nothing goes to waste, man. Regarding a prayer request that I put up out there. And when my daughter was younger, and the divorce came in, or I wasn't divorced and married, but it was together with her mother. I want to be the guy. I want to be the responsible person. I want to be the provider. I want to be taking care of her. And the more I was taking care, the more the least that I was doing, she was moving away from me because I wanted to take control on her life. And so I had to let go of the reins and just let God guide her heart and her decisions. And then I forgot about that too again. You know,
okay, so what you're saying is that you remember a way of being raised, mm-hmm. and how it was for you. And then things have just started up with your daughter. How old is your daughter?
She's 22 now.
She's 22.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was right before the Thanksgiving break?
Yeah.
There? Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was this was a, coming home at 2 o'clock from dinner from my boss home, and she's heading out to a place. With friends, she says. And so I got really, really frustrated because she's telling me, like, "Oh, yeah, I'm home. I'm home every night. And I see her at 2 o'clock in the morning with cancer beers and these guys and people that I, you know, I don't know. And my concern is I'm fear because I know what kind of life is that because I've been there. You know, I've been there, and I know what kind of life goes through, and friends are not real friends at that time of the night. So my fear was that she wasn't being truthful to me again, and so I had to stop that relationship with her. I said to her, I'm not going to give you the right way because you're doing things and I just became loving you. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop talking to you. I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to do this. Like, you choosing to do these things, then you choose whatever you want to do because you're responsible. You're an adult now and you're responsible for it. Yeah. So I let it go, but my heart was not there. My heart was like, man, I want my daughter back. I want my daughter. I know what the life is. I know what kind of life is that. I know the mistakes that I make. And I was fearful of that. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that she understands that. That if she makes a mistake, if she makes that bad decision, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be a good life. So I let it go again. I said, you know what? God, it's in control. God, it's in control. And so I put it out there, and I just let go of the reins. And then on Christmas Day, you know, we're not working. I'm just having a day off, putting out love lights and putting some music, and went off and played some golf and come back home. And then there's a present at home. And there's a present on the door, and I was like, who sent it this? There's no name, there's no tag, I don't know who is it from. So I'm sitting on the outside of my door, and I'm shaking the little box, and I'm just like, who sent this to me? Like, it could have been my neighbors, you know, because I got good neighbors. And said, maybe my friends, or maybe, I don't know. And I was just sitting down, and all of a sudden, like 20 minutes later, there's a call, and it's a call for my daughter, which I was not expecting it. And she was like, Dad, you got my gift.
And you're holding that. Yeah, you're holding that gift in your hand.
Yeah. And it's like, Dad, you got the gift that I sent it to you. Like, what? Like, why? You know, like, I wasn't expecting it from her at all. Like, really, we haven't talked in, you know, weeks, months. You know, well, a month and a half or so. And my heart was just broken again because. God just reminded me, like, who are you to not love your daughter? You know, who are you, like, don't remember? You know, do not remember when you did this and when you did that. And over, he's bringing up things like, you know, I was there with you. I was there with you. I never stopped loving you. You know, all your sinful life, I never stopped loving you. On the contrary, I keep loving you more. You know, try to keep it out of this life that it's not fruitful. And it just keeps, you know, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, my gosh.
That's it. Yeah. You knew.
You know, I stopped loving my daughter. I stopped loving my daughter because I was fearful. But God just reminded me, of, man, don't worry. I got you guys. You know, you are in my hands. So, you know, go back and love your daughter because I love you. And it just keeps reminding me through the whole week, you know, through a whole, there's people walking by. There's you know, thanking me for the lights that I put up, the Holy Spirit's in, you know, like, oh, my God, we never seen such a good place, lighting up here, you know, and there's words of affirmation like, man, I see you struggle. You know, I see you struggle. I see what you've been through. And people that I have not talked to, you know, there's affirmations like, man, I know you. You are a good guy. You got a good heart. You believe in God. And that's fine, you know, because they don't believe it. But, you know, and it's gifts and confirmations from people that I wasn't expecting. And all the things I see, it's just from God. It's not just the material stuff. It's just the spiritual stuff that is happening, that it's God, it's being good to me and my daughter. And we had this talk for like 3 hours, and we're just crying, and we're just loving each other. You know, reminded us, like, we've been through so much together, and there's no way I can stop loving my daughter. I can't. There's no way I can stop. When God is loving me every day, every second of my life.
So. I say you picked up the ball and you ran with it.
Yeah.
Well done, Father, and that's a wonderful story. That's a wonderful story.
Thank you.
That's the power of God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Living through the hearts of his people. Where is the hope?
Yes. Yes.
It's an active thing. You can focus on everything that's slamming us right now worldwide or in this nation, or you can look at the dailies. Are you looking at the dailies? Where does your hope lie right now? What is the opportunity that's there? Well done, Dad. Well done, Father. I mean, even God, the Father, he came through for you. And as a son, you had to realize something before you could offer it as a father. When I heard the story, man, I knew it needed to be told. And I thank you for your courage, and I thank you for your strength, and the fact that this is ongoing. We all know Yasmin. We all know her, right? She's a beautiful young lady, and this is one of many stories. Maybe you have them. Share the good news with someone. Share your story. And if you need help, communicate with someone who may have the answer, and it's the hope within you, right? The power of God and what he's working through. And Theo, thank you, brother.
Welcome.
Anything else you want us to know?
I was reading Romans 14 today about, you know, how there's so much separation between every human, you know, from whites to blacks to yellow, blue, whatever you name it, and you know, rich and poor. But he just reminds me, like, you know, you just got to keep loving no matter what. It just you know, not to judge people because they have money or they have steaks or whatever, and you're eating, you know, canned soup or whatever. But it's just, you know, loving each other, taking care of each other's needs, and that's, you know, being a peaceful person instead of fighting your enemy.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you. Yeah. Give it up for the face of Coney's today. These hats are what we wear on Thursday night. I don't know why you made us do it on Thursday night. He actually helped start our prayer night on Thursday nights. And by the way, you want to start a prayer night? Start one. If something about this church isn't quite what you think, start a church, please. We will be happy to do whatever we can as a resource. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Saturday night, put it together. We love it. Prayer nights, pack it out. There is hope that is needed. And some of you are carrying it. Such a beautiful light from a father. Think whatever you want, but there walks a man in the power of God that is being used by God. Regardless of how you've watched him in his younger years, this man is fathering, he's parenting. I'm so proud of you, Theo. And man, I've needed your encouragement to me too, as I failed in my areas in my life where I got frustrated with my kids or something in my marriage. It's iron sharpening iron. Avalon, the truth is we do get discouraged in life. And that's because we're still human. And even though we're Christians, discouragement, though, doesn't have to be the controlling factor. We all get down. We don't have to stay down. Concentrate on the dailies. Stay in the notes of God's word. Focus on the scriptures and those things like Philippians 4, 8, and 9 that are good and lovely and noble and of good report. Think on these things. The biggest factor for all of us is God is still God. He's almighty. He's all wise. He's all powerful. Everywhere present. He is eternal. He is here. He is here with us. He is with you in your marriage. He is with you in your parenting, your work, your everything. When you're down and when you're up. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? With our loving God in our corner, how can we lose? Even 220-0. They're still talking about that team. My friends, the King is coming. And he's not a baby in a manger anymore. Jesus is the hope. He is our peace. He'll restore our hearts and he'll make this life for you work out. Things will work out for good. Let's pray. Father, for every person here, including me, we've experienced failure. It has left us broken, disappointed in our lives, and this week we've experienced failure in our nation. There are times when we flash back on these failures, and they just return to haunt us. How sad it makes us. When we work all through those moments, Jesus, thank you for the remarkable transformation made possible by forgiveness. Thank you for understanding that we are but dust, often incapable of fulfilling our own promises or living up to our own expectations. Jesus, renew our hope. Hope beyond failure. As we've heard these verses in Scripture today, the truth of testimony, remind us that just as you have used others who have failed repeatedly, you will also use us by your grace. We look to you for the ability to hope again. For you alone have the power to make something beautiful and good of the lives littered with debris of words we should never have said, deeds we should never have done, actions we should never have acted on. Jesus, our only source of relief comes through your grace. Bring it to our attention again and again as we discover the truths you've led so many to in our past to write down in Scripture. I thank you in advance. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen and amen. The word has gone out, but can we ever get enough of the word? No. And Theo, thank you so very much. Pastor Andrew, incredible words. For many of you who grew up in the 60s, there was a term that kind of came out that was coined during the time of the Vietnam War, when men were coming back injured in battle, still able to walk, maybe not visible injuries, but definitely something wrong. And their ability to walk was even somewhat staggering. They were called the walking wounded. Do you remember that term? Yeah, we can't forget it because they've continued to use that now, not just Vietnam, but also through all of the desert wars. Originally, the term referred to physical wounds, but very quickly it entered a popular culture as a description of those who were suffering from more than just physical wounds, but emotional and psychological trauma as well, of which war, yes, gives you. And there was another term also, and I think all of you are familiar with it, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And that's what came to be what people visualized when they thought about the walking wounded. Yes, they can walk because they do have their arms, they do have their legs, and yet there is something definitely deeply wounded about these individuals. Many Vietnam veterans returned home to jobs and families, and they apparently were healthy, apparently they were whole, but they continued to struggle with these psychological after effects. And it's not just the people who are in wards. Many first responders also, we're finding out now, during these times where first responders are so incredibly needed and are so active. Recently, I read of an organization called the International Brotherhood of Walking Wounded, where it was just for vets, veterans of wars. Now they're opening it up to all kinds of different people who are troubled with this PTSD. And I applaud their efforts. But ultimately and eternally, our trust can't be in the efforts of men, right? The efforts of women. Our trust can't be in psychological theories and counseling techniques. Ultimately and eternally, we can't rely on human wisdom. We can't rely on human intelligence. We can't rely on people with advanced degrees. Nor will the answer come from the latest pharmaceuticals that we've been relying on a lot lately, haven't we? Oh, yeah, these things have their place. They may even be helpful, but they are not essential for what will affect us eternally. Amen? What will affect us eternally? And when it comes to living life in this world, I think we can all classify ourselves as walking wounded, especially more recently. Ultimately, eternally, we can't rely on ourselves. Essentially, ourself is not going to help us eternally. What we need is spiritual health. What we need is spiritual healing. We're dealing with the care of souls. So the solution can only be then a spiritual solution. A work of God accomplished within our hearts and only by the power of His Holy Spirit. Are our souls troubled? Yes. Are our souls stressed? Yes. Are our souls restless? Yes. Are we weary? Are we burdened in our spirits? Yes. Are we suffering from a spiritual PTSD? Yes. We are. Then come to Jesus. As Andrew has said, it's the only answer. Come to Jesus. Only in Him can we experience rest. Only in Him can we experience healing. Only in Him can we find comfort, strength, release from the pain of our hidden wounds. And only in Him will we receive the power and the blessing of God. The good news for all of us is that no matter where we are spiritually, no matter what we may be struggling with, God is able to heal it. God is able to heal those hidden wounds. They may be deep. They may be long-standing. It may be a tangled web of confusion, a tangled web of pain, but God sees it. God understands it, and God is the only one who is going to be able to do anything about it. And I think you hear that ring echo through the canyons this morning. God sees. God understands. And regardless of how sin has scarred us, He can make us whole again. And only He can make us whole again. He can calm the storms. He can rebuild, repair what is broken. And only He can. Our loving Heavenly Father wants nothing more than to comfort and strengthen His beloved children. And that's who we are. And He will do all of these things if we seek Him and if we place our trust in Him through His Son, Jesus, who says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to Me, all of you who are weary, all of you who are stressed out, all of you who are burdened, all of you with spiritual PTSD, and I will heal you. I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Learn from Me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, you will find rest for your souls." And Heavenly Father, we do come into Your presence now. We ask You to surround us with Your loving arms. We place ourselves under Your authority. Your claim upon our life is all we want. We give ourselves, body, soul, spirit, all of our heart to You in every way. We declare Your authority over our hearts. For You have made those hearts, and through Your Son, Jesus, You have redeemed those hearts. And so, yes, we invite You, Jesus, and Your Holy Spirit into every broken place within us, every wound, every hurtful and harmful memory. We give You complete access to our hearts. So come, Lord, shine Your light within us, reveal to us all that's going on, and free us from all that's going on, as only you can. We thank you now for the work that you are doing, the work you will continue to do, as we continue to praise your holy name and precious name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's thanks again, everyone, for the word this morning. That's awesome. Let's stand as we close out in song together and prepare to go out and enjoy the rest of your weekend here.
Doors sets the captives free. I've got a river of life.
make me yours. Bring a poem and give to me that life abundantly. That life, that life abundantly. That life, that life abundantly.
Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys next week.